Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious.
Good morning, church. Thank you so much for being here. And if you're visiting, we would like to ask that you will stay around a few moments after our services so that we might get to know you and welcome you and let you know that this is a great place to be. We are a group of people who are not perfect, but are trying our best to serve the Lord by His truth, the Word of God. And that's what we're talking about this month. I want to mention to you a few things. I want to encourage you, if you have the opportunity, to please be back this evening. Ben Coleman, who grew up here, is going to be presenting a lesson for us. Ben spent the summer working with the Mount Juliet Church of Christ, and he's going to deliver a lesson for us and maybe tell us a little bit about that work. Also, coming up in September, right, Dustin? September, Dakota Jenkins will be here. He spent some time interning up in Kentucky, and he will be here presenting a lesson and also telling a little bit about his summer. So we want to encourage you to be a part of those things. One of remind our young people about our devotional this Thursday evening at 6 p.m. That will be at our house. Also about the upcoming tailgating this Friday night. If you can help with that, there are sign-up lists in the foyer, and we need people to help with that because we want to encourage everyone to come out and be a part of that and enjoy those festivities. Don't forget about next Sunday afternoon. We'll have our church picnic over at the Tennessee Street Park. This is always a great opportunity when we get to worship in these kind of atmospheres. There may be people over there out for the afternoon, and this is a good opportunity for us to encourage them by being there and also by having our worship there. So make sure you remember that. In addition to what Brother Eddie mentioned about the Community Service Project meeting being that morning after services, but then that evening we'll have our services over at the Tennessee Street Park. So make sure you're aware of those things and mark those things down on your calendar and want to encourage you to be back with us tonight. In the last day's newsletter, Leonard Ravenhill, he tells this story about a group of tourists who are visiting this picturesque village. And as they are going through this village, they see one old gentleman sitting down beside a fence. And one of the tourists, in a patronizing way, asked the question, "Were there any great men born in this village?" To which the old man said, "Nope, only babies." And that question that that tourist asked brought about a profound answer, that no heroes are instantly born, whether in the world or in the kingdom of God. Even spiritual leadership has to be earned because growth takes time. And as we've been talking about the Word of God, the powerful, living Word of God, the truth that has been extended to us in the form of God's Word. This morning I want us to think about growing spiritually by reading and studying that Word. And when we talk about spiritual growth, we know what we're talking about. When we talk about growth in general, we understand what that means. We understand that growth is important, right? By the way, I love hearing babies and small children in our services. Don't you? Because that means we're growing, we're adding. By the way, I was encouraged by the elders to encourage all of our young couples, all of our young married couples, to begin thinking about having babies because we like babies around here. By the way, the elders didn't encourage me to do that. But we do like babies. And when we think about babies, babies require milk or formula, right? They're not ready to eat, nor could they take solid food. Yet, when that child grows into a toddler or a young child, we begin portioning that food out, right? We introduce solid food to them and we portion it out so that they do not get choked. And when that child becomes a teenager or a young adult, they are old enough to take responsibility for themselves, to eat when they're supposed to eat, and to take the portions that they can handle. And the same way with spiritual growth. 1 Peter chapter 2 that Buzzy read for us. Thank you, Buzzy, for reading that. Notice what the Bible says. As newborn babes desire the pure or sincere milk of the Word. Why? That you may grow thereby. In other words, spiritual growth is the same way. When we are new Christians, we can't handle some of the deeper things of Scripture. But still, our desire should be for the Word of God that we might grow. And as we get older, the same thing, except we move to the meat of the Word. And we are to desire that meat so that we can grow. The Hebrew writer believed in spiritual growth. The Hebrew writer talked a lot about growing spiritually. In fact, notice on the screen, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. That word perfection means maturity, mature. It means things like moral or spiritual perfection or completeness. And notice that he said, let us go on to perfection or maturity. In other words, that's our goal. That's a point we are trying to accomplish as we go through this spiritual walk. You see, we don't want to be the same or should not want to be the same that we were 5 or 10 years ago. Imagine if we're 15 years old and we're still eating baby food. Imagine if we're 25 years old and we still like formula. Imagine if I'm 50 years old and I still like my green beans to be smushed up. You see, logically we think about it and we think, man, that's absurd. Why then do we think or sometimes act any differently about spiritual matters and studying God's Word? It's the same. This morning I want us to look at three things quickly about why spiritual growth is important. Why the study, the reading and study of God's Word is important to our spiritual growth. Number one, eternal consequences are real. They're real. Have you looked at the news lately? I seem to be saying that a lot. We live in a fallen world, don't we? We live in tough times. I mean, think about it. Our nation, our government is struggling to be unified, right? Look on the news further. Our nation is struggling to be unified, right? We could probably look across our nation and also realize that churches are struggling to be unified. All evidence that we live in some tough times. All evidence that the work of Satan is real. You see, we need to be reminded that eternity is a reality. Eternity is a reality. I'm not just talking about eternity with God. I'm talking about eternity with Satan as well. Eternity is a reality. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. In other words, everybody will die, and everyone will be judged. Matthew chapter 25 seeks to describe the end times and the judgment. Hell is often described as the second death or the lake of fire. John, in the book of Revelation, he tried to describe heaven in a way that we might understand. And you know what? As beautiful as that seems, I believe it will be much better. See, why do we need to study God's Word? Why do we need to try to grow spiritually? Is because eternity is a reality. And it is coming just like God said it would. And so we need to seek to grow, to be all God wants us to be, so that we can encourage and lead others as well to Christ. Charles Simpson tells a story about a man that he met that dove to get exotic animals or aquatic animals for exotic aquariums. And this gentleman told him that the most sought after aquatic animal is the shark. And he tells Simpson about how you can take a small shark, put it in an aquarium, or whatever environment you place that small shark in, it will stay proportionate to that environment that it's in. But you take that same 6-inch little shark and you put it out in the ocean and it will grow to its full length of 8 feet. Simpson tells how he's looked at some Christians and he's seen some cute little 6-inch Christians who seem to waddle around in a small puddle. Yet when you put them out into the great creation of God, they can grow and be great. You see, despite what some people believe, some people think that if we just stay in our own little world, then we're going to be okay and we'll be comfortable. But God says, I don't want you to be that way. I want you to be out in the world to be a light. That's what Jesus did. That's what the early church did. And God says, that's what I want for my people to do, to be out in the world and to be lights. Let us seek to be growing spiritually so that when others see us, they see Jesus. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. That He might have the preeminence. That He might have the preeminence. That word preeminence means first place or chief seat. Jesus wants to be on the chief seat of the throne of our lives. And you see, when that happens, that makes a difference in my life, in the life of my family, in the life of the church, in the life of my neighborhood, in the life of my workplace, in the life of my school. You see, I have to admit something. I can be just as selfish as anyone else. It's a battle. Because the flesh says, you are number one. But Galatians 5, when we walk in the Spirit and we're seeking to grow spiritually, the Spirit says, Christ has chief seat. And it's not big enough for both. And when I'm on the seat, guess what? I'm not growing spiritually. Why is it important that we grow spiritually? Because eternal consequences are real. A second reason is because it's easier to lead and be led. When people seek daily to allow Christ to have the chief seat in their life, then things change. Strife, gossip, criticism, and sexual sin all tend to diminish. Someone has said, a stagnant congregation can be a breeding ground for problems. Let's make it our goal, individually and collectively, to put Jesus on the chief seat of our lives, give Him the preeminence, so that we are not a stagnant congregation, but a breeding ground for problems. You see, that's what Satan wants. And when that is the case, can't you see it? I mean, he kicks back and says, look at those guys. They call themselves Christians. And the cause is not growing. You see, that's the challenge for us. That's the challenge for me individually. Put Christ on the chief seat. In order to be able to lead and to be led. Because healthy, growing Christians are motivated to serve, to pray, and to love. Listen to what Griffith Thomas says. As water never rises above its level, so what we do never rises above what we are. Think about that. No matter how high that river out there gets, the water never rises above its own level, does it? We shall never take people one hair's breadth beyond our own spiritual attainment. We may point to higher things, but we shall only take them as far as we ourselves have gone. In other words, I cannot lead. I can never lead anyone else beyond where I am at spiritually. Though I can point to higher things, I cannot lead beyond where I am spiritually. Nor can I be led beyond where I am spiritually. So what's the point? If I'm not growing, I cannot lead and I cannot be led and I cannot help the church. That's why spiritual growth is important. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask this," Paul says, "that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Notice where the focus is. "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him." And what happens when we do that? Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. When we grow, we produce fruit. And that's exactly what Satan does not want. That's what God wants for us. Because here's what Satan knows. And here's what God knows. Why is it important that we grow spiritually? Through the reading and study of God's Word? Because a thriving spiritual life is contagious. It's contagious. And Satan knows that. You know what's important? And it does matter what we're feasting on. What? Well, you think about that little baby and that nursing mother. That nursing mother has to watch her diet, right? Because whatever she takes in turns into milk for her baby. Imagine if she loved a steady diet of cayenne pepper. That baby not going to be happy, is it? So it's important what we are feasting on. If it's important physically, I can guarantee you it's important spiritually. We have to ask ourselves the question, what am I feasting on? What am I feeding my mind and my heart with? Am I taking in the meat of the Word of God? Do I desire that? Now listen, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that we don't have interests and things and hobbies and things that we enjoy, careers that we enjoy. But does that take precedent? Is that what I'm feasting my mind on the most and neglecting the Word of God? Because if I am, then spiritually I'm not thriving. spiritually I'm not growing. That's why it's important that we read and study God's Word to grow spiritually. Back in the 80s, there was an episode of the Merv Griffin Show. And on that show, he had a bodybuilder. And during the interview, Merv asked this question: why do you develop those particular muscles? The bodybuilder didn't answer. He just got up and he started posing. I mean, you've seen those guys, man. I mean, even those football players you've been watching. What do? They show their muscles, right? And that guy, he just began showing this specimen of built-up muscles. And the crowd applauded. But Merv asks and proceeded, what do you use all those muscles for? Again, that gentleman just stepped out there and he began flexing, and biceps and triceps just bulged out. And Merv insisted and pushed again. He says, but what do you use the muscles for? And the bodybuilder was speechless. He didn't know what to say. So what about some of the spiritual exercises that we do of reading and studying God's Word and serving and worship? Filling our minds, reading Christian books, filling our minds with Christian things, godly things. Those all have a purpose so that we can grow spiritually and we can help increase the kingdom of God when people see how we're growing. You see, we don't do all this so that people can see how good I can dress up and act like a Christian. We don't do all this so people can ride by and say, man, look at that church right there now. Man, that's a church. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Colossians chapter 3. I want us to just read through these verses. I want you to get the idea of what Paul, through inspiration of God, is saying to the churches in Colossae. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But, what's that indicate? Growth. Change. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave, you also must do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Imagine if that was our focus. If Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 through 17, if that was our goal, to be that kind of people. Imagine what a difference that would make in our lives. Imagine if that was our goal and people would look at us and they would say, why do you act like that? Why do you do the things that you do? You have something that's different. And we can say, Jesus. Then people can look at the Savannah Church of Christ and they can say, man, I know you're a member of that church. Because I know that church loves one another, and I know that church loves this community, and I know that church is seeking to grow spiritually through Bible study, through prayer, through service, and through worship. And not so they can say, oh man, what a Christian. Oh man, what a church. But as Jesus says, so they can see your good works and glorify God. That's why spiritual growth is important. Maybe you've had the opportunity to see a mighty eagle and to see that beautiful nest. But maybe you haven't had the opportunity to see in that nest. For you see, when a mother eagle begins building a nest, she will get sharp sticks, sharp rocks, and other sharp objects, and she will begin building that nest. All things that in our minds we would say, that doesn't make sense for a nest, but there's a purpose. She then takes and through feathers, and wool and other things, fur off the animals that she's killed for her young, she will make a floor in that nest, padded, so that when those eggs are hatched, there's a nice, comfortable place for those babies. But when they reach the age where it's time for them to fly, what do you think would happen? Free food, nice, comfortable place to stay. I want to stay right here, Mom. And with those sharp talons, she then begins to what is called stirring the nest. She begins to pull away at that carpet that she has built. And those sharp objects begin to pierce through. And now all of a sudden, the nest is not comfortable anymore. Those eagles have to then leave the nest, leave that comfortable spot they are, so that they can go on to more mature things as adult eagles. They can't stay the same. You know what's interesting? If nature tells us all of these things, what do you think that says about spiritual things? I would like to suggest that if nature tells us it's important to grow, if nature tells us it's important to go beyond where I am spiritually and try to grow and seek and dig in God's Word and grow so that I can be all God wants me to be and get out of those little puddles out into the world to be a light. It is scary. We might be persecuted. We might even be killed. But you know what's better? The book of Revelation speaks about victory. There's a place, there's a real place called heaven. And I want to be there. You see, there... death's not the end for the child of God. Have you made that decision? Will you begin your spiritual walk today, growing spiritually, by giving your life to Jesus in faith and obedience? Maybe it is you're here today And maybe you've had a comfortable life spiritually. And for whatever reason, you haven't been growing spiritually. You may feel the need to respond and ask a group of people who love you and are thankful that you are here to pray with you and pray for you. Maybe it is you need to make some changes between you and God. We hope that you'll do that today. Maybe it is, for whatever reason, you have a lot of burdens that Satan has placed on you, and you need the prayers of your church family. We always stand ready and willing and hopeful that you will allow us to pray with you and pray for you, and allow these good people that are your family to wrap their arms around you and to say, I'm walking with you. You're not alone. Whatever your need is to respond to the Lord's invitation, please come forward as we stand and sing.